talking with a preacher about funerals. We both agreed that all of us have to be prepared for that day when it is our funeral, or rather, for the event that creates our funeral. He said, it all comes down to that day. Meaning that everything we do in Christianity, everything we do in relation to the Lord, the church, and so on, is all preparing us for the day when it is our funeral. I'd like to give you a text tonight that shows us how to be prepared for the day when it's our funeral. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. John said, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. John painted a picture of life or death. It's one or the other. It's not both. There is no in-between stage. There is no gray when it comes to life and death. When do we move from death to life? We move from death to life when we love the brethren. Rather, we can know that we have been born again, that we've been raised from the dead, when we start loving our brethren. Loving our brother is proof that we have been saved. Listen to Peter in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, where he shows that we not only obey the truth to become Christians, but we obey the truth to start doing something that generally we didn't do before. Our new way of life is to love our brethren, whereas the old way was to hate. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So you put that together with what John is teaching, and we find that he who does not love his brother abides in death. I know that may sound oxymoronic, but living in death is the way of those who do not love. God does not give life to the one who does not love his brother. Brethren, there is more to being a Christian, being a faithful Christian, than knowing the truth on various issues and doctrines. But we are saved and have the hope of eternal life when we love our brother. John taught that he who hates his brother is a murderer. Hatred equals murder. That is a hard truth. But it is the truth. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus had shown us that the hatred that can lead to murder is also condemned. So that hatred is the same as murder. It merely lacks the opportunity. In Matthew 5, starting at verse 21, our Master and friend said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder.' And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." Strong words. But John got the message, didn't he? And he wrote it down in 1 John. "You know," he said, "that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him, because if anyone doesn't have life, it's the murderer." That's obvious. Murder ought to be the most obvious sin that God condemns. However, John showed us that hatred, something that has not been manifested, but maybe hidden in a person's heart, God sees and condemns just as much as murder. Wow. "Therefore, no one hating his brother has eternal life abiding in him." If we do not embrace our brethren by love, then by hatred we crush ourselves. Love for our brethren is not an option, but a must. If we want to live forever in heaven with God, there's no exceptions here. There's no gray area. John says, this is the way it is. Think about this. How many people on their deathbeds wish that they hated more? I've been with a lot of people over the years as they're approaching death and as they're right at the gate and they know it. Not once have I heard one person, Christian or non, who said, "You know something? I wish I had hated people more." But I have heard regrets of, "I wish I had loved more." John gave us only two options. Number one, either that we love the brethren and have life, or number two, that we hate the brethren and have death. There are no exceptions. He did not write that we can have life if we love the brethren, except for the few who have hurt us, or the few with whom we may disagree, or whatever. I get the impression from him, and I'll stand corrected if I need to be, that hating even one brother can kill us eternally. Let's continue with John. 1 John 3, 16 and 17. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? You have heard John 3:16 and its proclamation of God's love to the world. You heard Lake read it earlier. Hear it again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 shows us how to imitate John 3:16. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, John says we ought to lay down our lives for one another. First John 3:16 teaches that there's a test I can take to see whether I have the love of God. Listen to this comment on 1 John 3:16 from a commentator by the name of Linsky. The same is true with regard to love as with regard to life. Neither is visible to the eye, tangible to the hand. Both are known as being present only by their activity. So John names the evidence. Oh, I have God's love in me. Oh, I love you. Okay, I've heard the claim. Now John says, let me see it. Lay down your life for the brethren. Let me give you several quotations here from various writers on love. Not so much on 1 John 3:16, but just on love and its manifestation. This first one is from Vincent van Gogh. There is the same difference in a person before and after he is in love as there is in an unlighted lamp and one that is burning. The lamp was there, and it was a good lamp. But now it is shedding its light, too. And that is its real function. The next one is from someone named McLeod. Love cannot stay at home. A man cannot keep it to himself. Like light, it is constantly traveling. A man must spend it, must give it away. Another one from Herbert. Love and a cough cannot be hid. Still another one. Love is like the moon. When it does not increase, it decreases. And one more from George P. Upton. A flower cannot blossom without sunshine, and a man cannot live without love. How do we so love as 1 John 3:16 directs? Brothers and sisters, we love when we receive God's love. I know it's a common teaching that in order to love others, you have to learn to love yourself. But we do not need to be taught to love ourselves because we have that ability since the day we're born and we never lose it. Ephesians 5:29. The Bible teaches that we will love our neighbor and our brethren as we already love ourselves and as Christ loves us when we first receive His love for us. When you continue to read the letter of 1 John, you'll eventually get to the fourth chapter of John, 1 John, where John will affirm this very truth. 1 John 4:19, he said, "We love because He first loved us." When am I going to love you? When are you going to love me? When are we going to love each other? John says, it's when I receive His love. I see it, and then I receive it and embrace it. Now I can love you as I ought to love you. In 1 John 3:17, John gave a practical application of how we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see, brethren, the truth of the matter is, it is rare when we have to lay down our lives for others in a literal sense. I mean, how often does that happen? We may boast that if given the chance, we would sacrifice our lives. But there are other ways to show love. If we do not love in these other ways, then when the moment of personal sacrifice finally arrives, we may not do it because we're not in the habit, we're not in the practice. It's not in our hearts to show love. The way to show our brethren that we love them is not by waiting for the rare chance to lay down our lives to die for someone. And granted, we ought to when those times come, but it is the little daily things where we can really show our love. If we see our brother in need, John said, and we have what he needs, but we do not give it to him, can it be said that we have the love of God in us? Now that's a rhetorical question that John gave. A rhetorical question is when the answer is obvious. He didn't have to answer it because it's obvious. You've read and heard 1 Corinthians 13. And we need to hear it again. Because 1 Corinthians 13 shows that we may be ready to do the great demonstrations of love, such as sacrificing ourselves and sacrificing everything that we have. But if we don't have love, he says we are nothing and we have not gained a thing. Give ear to the Spirit's word in 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Okay, so what is love then? How can I show you love? How can we show each other love? Just on a daily basis. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through the first sentence of verse 8. There's a couple of readings from the book of Proverbs that I think stress the same thing. Only without mentioning love, but the idea is certainly there. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28. This is the wisdom of Solomon, I know, but God's the one who gave him that wisdom. So here's the wisdom of God. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Then move over to the 28th chapter, where the Bible again delivers a warning about refusing to help our brethren when we have the ability. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Let's go back to 1 John and look at the last verse of 1 John 3 for this evening. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. 1 John 3:18. Love is not shown merely by word or tongue. We can talk of love. Yes, we have to. John's doing it. If we never talked about love, we wouldn't know about love. So we have to talk about it. It's just that it's not in word alone. Even as we're not saved by faith alone, we're not saved by talking about love alone. The longest and simplest love letter ever written was the work of a Parisian painter named Marcel de Lecour in 1875. The address was Magdalene de Villalore, his aristocratic light of love. The missive contained the phrase, and then they give the French, I love you, 1,875,000 times. 1,000 times the calendar years of the date. The prodigious lover did not pen the letter with his own hand. He hired a scribe. A lazy type could have instructed the secretary, write the amatory sentence 1,875,000 times. But Lecour was too entranced with the sound of the three words. He dictated it word for word and had the hired man repeat it verbatim. All in all, therefore, the phrase was uttered orally and in writing 5,625,000 times before it reached its destination. In my opinion, greater would the meaning of his words have been if he had said, I love you, and then in 1,875,000 times shown it in different ways. Yes, he did something, but it seems like he wasted a lot of time on such a letter. John said to show love in two ways. Show love in deed. Even as faith without works is dead, so love without works is dead. Even as faith without works cannot save, so love without works cannot save. Show me your love apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my love. Secondly, John said to show love in truth. Let the Lord guide your love. Let the Lord be your instructor. instructor in love. Do not let the world teach you what is love. Do you love your brethren as you love yourself? Do you love your brethren as Christ loves you? Are you prepared for the day of your funeral by loving your brothers and sisters? Oh brother, oh sister, we want to help. We've every single one of us have been there at some time or another. When we have found it difficult to love someone, when we have found it difficult to love a brother or a sister, and maybe we felt justified in so doing, but we've seen what John has said about this matter. And if you're struggling right now, maybe struggling with something else, and you want our prayers, please don't leave here without talking to us, either to someone in private, or if you want the whole church to pray for you, then you can come forward right now as we stand and sing.